Well, New York Times bestselling YA author Holly Black will be at Oblong Books in Rhinebeck tonight at 6 o'clock to launch the first book in her new series about a mortal girl who finds herself caught in a web of royal fairy intrigue. The new book is The Cruel Prince, and it is just delightful. Holly Black is the author of the Modern Tales of Fairy series, Curse Worker series, The Coldest Girl in Cold Town, the Magisterium series with Cassandra Clare, and The Darkest Part of the Forest. She has been a finalist for the Eisner Award and the recipient of the Andre Norton Award, as well as a Newbery Honor. She is, I'm a great fan of her work, and the new book is out today. And we're celebrating, and Rhinebeck tonight, they're celebrating. We're celebrating on the roundtable this morning, and we're thrilled to have Holly Black in our studio. Congratulations and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. Happy New Year. I'm so happy to be here.
It's a good way to start off a year, I think, to have a new book and to send a new child out into the world.
It certainly was. It was good to have all of the holiday stuff to distract me from thinking about it. You know, it's unusual to have a book out now. And I was talking to a friend about it. And, you know, they were like, well, you know, it's just going to be you out there. But it's a little bit like, you know, like a frozen pool. And you think, well, it's only me that has this frozen pool.
That's right.
It's going to be very exciting, though. It's all mine.
Well, now, tell me a little bit about your audience, though, because I don't think that really matters to your audience. Your audience is out there. They're young adults, and they're looking for... I don't think they would matter whether it comes out on the second day of January or the 13th of November.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I'm very excited for it to come out. Let's see. I have been... It's been done. This is probably the most ahead I've ever been. And so I'm actually working on the third book now.
Wow.
This is about three girls, three sisters who they spend their childhood in the human world, as we do.
Mm-hmm.
And one day, guy comes to the door, is looking for their mother, seems to know something about the oldest sister, and winds up having an argument that reveals that the oldest sister is a fairy and that this person is also a fairy. He was married to their mother, and she ran off taking the child with her. An argument ensues in which he winds up killing her, killing their father, and then being like, huh, I guess I have to take all of you back with me to fairy.
Oh, God.
And so they're raised there by the murder of their parents, who's also sort of at that point their dad. And so I was really interested in that kind of story. It's a little bit of a reverse changeling story. Mm. If you know anything about changelings who are left in the mortal world, it's a little bit the opposite of that. And it's a little bit about dads and daughters.
Well, I was going to say,
there's a little bit court intrigue.
But also, at the very basic mm-hmm. level, it is a universal story of a dysfunctional family that has been put together in a way where the kids are trying to figure out what's going on and make their way through the world, right? I mean, there's a universality to it that I think that obviously your audience has come to expect from what you write.
Thank you. It's a little bit about moving. It's a little bit about changing schools. Sure. Yeah. And also sword fighting.
You know? And don't forget the sword fighting. Now, as you said, you're working on the third now, and I mentioned many of the series in the introduction. Mm-hmm. So is it more nerve-wracking for you when you put out a new series into the world versus when you have the second or third book and you already know that the audience is there and they're just waiting for that latest installment?
Well, I've been doing... a bunch of standalones over the last few years. And I think what's great about a standalone is you put everything you've got into it, you let it go into the world, and by the time it comes out, you know, you have had some time from it and you're not working on the second, it is on its own. And that was really fun. But the thing that's really fun about a series is you get to know those characters. You get to really spend time with them. You get to... explore how things change with them, and also with readers. You get to, you know, when readers are coming in wanting to talk about the book, you actually have more that you're doing and are able to do with it. So it's been different to launch a series, and really exciting to launch a series. And I was, you know, as much as I love standalones, I had this moment where I was like, I can't meet any new people. I need to meet some people and settle down with them for a while.
Yeah. And that's comforting. I mean, not only does it mean, I assume, a multiple book contract, so good for you, cha-ching.
Thank you.
But also, I mean, that's good job stability, so we all look for that. But by the same token, it also, when you start writing that first word of The Cruel Prince, you know that there's not one arc, there are three arcs that are ultimately going to take the story through to the end.
I will embarrassingly confess that this is the only series that I have not done with another person that I knew was a series when I started it.
Really?
Every other, when I did Curse Workers, I started out thinking it was a standalone that got too big for me. You know, when I wrote Ty, that was my very first book. And I thought if I finish this book, it will be a miracle. No less, I'm going to write more of them. So yeah. This is actually the first book that I really planned out and structured as a series that didn't involve another person making me figure this stuff out before.
Is it fun for you to interact with the audience, to interact with the young adults who read these books?
Absolutely. It's great to talk to readers, especially because the characters live in your head. And so there are people you know that nobody else knows.
Yeah.
And then when a book comes out, finally other people are able to talk to you about those people who have, you know, before that just been people, you know, just existed in your head. So it's wonderful. It feels, you know, like you are finally able to talk about this thing. And that's really wonderful. And it's wonderful to meet readers always, because I myself, as a reader, you know, feel like I have a way of talking. Like, there's just a wonderful relationship to people who read your work, who read other works.
In the collaborations that you've done, mm-hmm. is it nice then to just be on your own? I mean, I'm not to take away from the collaborations, because they must have their pluses too, but just that it's all you.
Whenever I'm doing collaboration, I always have a solo project that I'm also doing,
mm-hmm.
and I think what's great about collaboration is that together you can make something that you would never make on your own. And you know, when you have a disagreement, you know, you hopefully, instead of going, you know, your way or their way, you go third way that, again, neither of you would have come up with. And that's what's great about that. But I don't think I could ever do it if I didn't have solo projects, because I can always compromise in my shared projects, because I know I have projects that I don't have to compromise with.
Mm. When you work with that said, though, when you work with somebody, is there a lot of compromise? I mean, I assume there is compromise, but by the same token, I assume either one of the two parties would work with one another if they felt that it was going to be a grind and horrible, that you trust each other to go ahead in the project.
No, I think that, in general, I have not had many disagreements with the people I've collaborated with. And most of the disagreements that we have had are often over very small things that we actually feel very passionate about. I had an argument with Cassie with the Magisterium series over someone's... whether somebody frowned or not in a scene. And I was really bad. I had really passionate feelings about it. And she had really passionate feelings about it.
Yeah.
And we had to sort of step away from the question of the frown. Or like another one where did some mages arrive earlier in the scene or later in the scene? It was more realistic, I said, for them to arrive earlier. It was more dramatic, she said, for them to arrive later.
But don't you think, at least this is the way I would look at it, and maybe, you, I don't want you to come to fisticuffs over a frown, but by the same token, it seems that we as the readers ultimately are the ones who benefit, that there are two artists who are looking at this and have these kind of conversations that mm-hmm. make the story, the story becomes better because of that kind of give and take.
Absolutely. That is why collaboration is so much fun to do. You learn so much from doing it, and that's why it creates something that I think is wholly different from what the two people do individually.
What brought your interest to fairies? That's one question. And the second question is, why do you spell it the way you do?
So my interest in fairies probably started with a art book, which is Brian Fred and Alan Lee's book, Fairies, which was spelled that way.
Yes. Your spelling is F-A-E-R-I-E. I had always, usually F-A-I-R-I-E, right?
You will see both of those two spellings sort of used those specific spellings used arbitrarily.
Yes.
And I don't actually have an extremely strong feeling between the two. The one I avoid is F-A-R-Y, which I think connotes fairy tales.
Yeah.
And I think connotes a slightly sparklier and less folkloric fairy. You know, in a lot of the books, the urban fantasy books that I grew up reading, Terry Wendling's books, Charles DeLint, Emma Bull, you know, they spelled it with in the way that I'm spelling it. You know, I think probably to show that I'm writing in that tradition, in that sort of urban fairy tradition.
So what would be a definition of urban fairy?
Well, there was a genre of urban fantasy, which was occasionally called elf punk in its day in the 80s, where you had sort of magic and motorcycles.
How did I miss the elf punk stage?
I kind of love it, though. I love it. And it had fairies just, you know, put into a contemporary setting.
Yes.
And so I read those books and I really loved them. You know, I looked at Brian Fred and Alan Lee's book Fairies, which my mom had. She's a painter. And so it was really frightening. Like, the pictures are frightening, but they're really beautiful and really strange. And the thing I love about fairies is that unlike all other supernatural or most other supernatural creatures, they're not human and they've never been human. They're not werewolves. They're not humans transformed. They're not vampires. They're not back from the dead. They're not us at all.
Right.
They may look like us, but they're not us. And they're an entire ecosystem of kelpies and nixies and pixies and sprites. They're not, you know, just human looking folk. And they're not just like tiny folk with wings. They're all of these different things. And I think that makes for a really interesting setting. And I guess the other thing I love is just that a lot of fairy stories are like ghost stories. They're about people who bump up against this sort of supernatural world and it affects them, but then they go back to their regular life.
Do you think when you take on a project like this in this particular book and you start a new series, is there a lexicon, is there an introduction to the idea of fairies in the fairy world, or is it fairly innate that the reader will just understand the differences between these characters of what a pixie is, of how it works in these worlds?
Well, I think one of the, I think my job is to assume that though I love this stuff, many of my friends have a little, like, fairies really live at a place in fantasy where some people think, I don't know if I would like this.
Yeah.
It's, you know, they have some perhaps preconceived notions about a certain silliness or, you know, maybe there'll be too much poetry or riddles or something.
Right.
And so, you know, I think my job in beginning a book like this is to try and, you know, convince the reader, A, that they're going to be okay. They're going to, you know, that I know what I'm doing. And, but also, you know, to sort of explain the world.
Yeah.
And explain the world without making it obvious I'm explaining the world. I mean, that's probably the job of every beginning of every book, whether it's about fairies, whether it's about spies, right? I mean, they're all worlds that we have to understand and that we have to be eased into without feeling like we're being eased into them.
Let me take a break here. You can talk to us for a few more minutes.
I'm here for as long as you like.
I'll let you out of here, I promise. But I have many more questions for you. So let's take a break. Holly Black is with us. Her new book is called The Cruel Prince. It has its book launch. It's out today. It's if you go to your local independent bookstore, there it is. It's out, and it's very exciting. She's going to have a book launch party at Oblong Books and Music in Rhinebeck tonight at 6 o'clock, which you can find out more information by going to oblongbooks.com, oblongbooks.com. And Holly Black will join us after this short break. Holly Black is with us. She is a New York Times bestselling author. Her brand new book, The Cruel Prince, is out today. And it is from my perspective in the publishing world, they're pitching this one. You got a lot behind this one. They're doing a good job of getting the word out on the Cruel Prince. And you're going to be doing a book launch at the at Oblong Books and Music in Rhinebeck tonight at 6 o'clock. And again, that's oblongbooks.com to find out more information about that event. Now, I'm curious because how did you get into this? You mentioned the fairy book, but how did you get into this world of saying, I'm going to write specifically for young adults?
You know, actually, I was working on my first book, which was a book called Tide, the Modern Fairy Tale. And I had been working on it for a long time because I didn't know how to write a book. It was also about fairies, but mostly it was about them sitting around drinking coffee and experiencing ennui until I finally figured out how plotting worked. And during that time, I met a lot of people. One of them was a librarian for children's and young adults, for children and young adults. And she said, I think this is a YA book. And I had been thinking of it as an adult book because even though the main character was 16, you know, I had grown up reading a lot of fantasy novels where you had young protagonists. And I hadn't really read as much YA. When I was a kid, there was YA, but there wasn't as much. And so I had sort of, you know, gone to reading adult books pretty young. And so she gave me a Garth Nix book, and she gave me a Tamora Pierce book, and she sort of sent me off on my way. And I was like, this is amazing. This is fantastic. I'm really interested in this. And that's how I came to think that maybe my first book could be a YA book. And it was, it was deemed to be in the sense that it was bought as a YA book and came out in 2002. And that's how I came into this world.
Yeah. And it's been, and your timing was good too. I mean, the genre was just exploding.
It was right before, it exploded. And so I remember I went to a convention, the Society of Children's Book for Children's Book Writers and Illustrators Convention. Mm-hmm. So it's people who are trying to break into the industry. And I had gone right after my first book came out and right before a series of younger books came out called The Spreader Chronicles. And I was in line for the bathroom. And I guess somebody had told people that you should network wherever you are, including online for the bathroom. And so woman turned to me and she said, well, what do you write? And I said, young adult. And she turned around to talk to somebody else because nobody wanted, like, YA was just not considered to be a big genre. It was all about picture books. And it was interesting because, within a couple of years, you had this enormous young adult boom. So it was an amazing time to come in, an amazing time to see everything that happened and everything that changed.
And not to get too wonky on the publishing side of it, but that's also now where the money is, too. I mean, there's a lot of money in where authors are it's what's selling. YA sells.
I mean, I think, yes. I mean, I don't know in terms of exactly what. I think the books that sell, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely.
And, I think that's true in every genre, but certainly YA, I think, became thought of that way.
Right. It has a respect within the industry because you have readers.
Mm-hmm.
And you bring people into stores and libraries and so forth.
I think what is exciting about YA, when people say YA is what sells, I think what happened is it grew a lot.
Yes.
Which feels like it's selling more, if you know what I mean. But it's what we're seeing is it's growing and it's changing and it's a pretty new genre. It's only existed, I think they date it from the publication of The Outsiders.
Yeah.
Outsiders as being the first YA book. And so that's really a young genre and a genre in flux and still kind of figuring out how it lives and what it is and, you know, what its limits are.
When I would think, I hope you take no offense to this, you have blue hair, and I love that. That is awesome.
Thank you.
What do the when young adults come into the bookstore and they see you, I know some of your book jackets have, some of them don't, but so is it a surprise then for some of the kids when they see you?
When they see, I don't know. I mean, I don't have a sense of that. I think, probably not. I mean, there's a lot of YA authors with colored hair.
Yeah.
I have to say. But my hair is very gray. And so I let it be gray for a little while, and then it's not a great gray. And so I thought, I'm going to color it. I mean, it's very, it's not
what
like
a great gray is.
A great gray would be more gray than it is.
Yeah.
Or less gray than it is.
Okay.
It lives in a state that is neither one thing or it's a liminal state of grayness.
Yeah.
And therefore, yeah, so I was going to color it, and so I figured, color it blue.
That's very cool. And then and so now because now I have gray hair and but it's like temple gray, and then but it you know then it starts taking over. But I don't know.
You have a good pattern. You have a good pattern. Like, you know?
It's the age.
Good.
Right. But then, did you ever think, maybe I can pull off blue?
Yeah. I mean, I've had color hair throughout my life at different times.
Yeah. Was that your elf punk phase?
In the 80s?
Yeah.
I did. You know, colored hair technology has really come a long way, I have to tell you. Very tough to have colored hair back then. It used to come out instantly. But, yeah, I mean, do I think I could pull it off? I don't know what pulling it off means, really.
Well, it means that you're happy with it.
Yeah.
And that you like it. And when you look in the mirror, you're like, oh, this is great.
I have a 4-year-old son. He's never seen me with anything but blue hair.
That is awesome.
He may believe that it's my real color.
Or think that someday his is going to turn blue.
Maybe.
And maybe it will. I don't know.
I mean, it might.
But it got to be Jacob, too. That's very cool. So what's next for you?
Book two. It comes out next year. It is The Wicked King. And Magisterium, the last Magisterium, The Golden Tower, comes out next year as well.
So you've got a lot on your plate.
Yeah.
Actually,
Golden Tower comes out this year because it is 2018.
It's hard to believe. Hard to believe. And then you keep writing, right? And then you just keep up with a new idea,
yeah,
right?
That's what happened. Yeah, after I sold my first book, I was like, what do I do now? My editor
write
was
another
like,
one.
You write another book. I said, you've got to be kidding me.
Well, Holly Black is the author of the brand new Cruel Prince, which is out today. And it's very exciting to have her on the program. She's going to be having her book launch party at Oblong Books in Rhinebeck tonight at 6 o'clock. It's a great book launch party before she goes out on tour. Tries to warm up a little bit. Oblongbooks.com for more information. Oblongbooks.com for tonight's event. I'm thrilled that you're having this event, but I'm even more so thrilled that you came here and celebrated the big day with us. And I thank you very much. Happy New Year to you. Congratulations. And come back when the next book comes out.
I will. Happy New Year.
And to you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.